Let's take our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. And we stopped at verse 21. Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 21. Great verse in the Bible, important. All of them are, of course. Proverbs 24, verse 21, the Bible says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer." So we go back to verse 21, and we want to talk about the verse or the phrase where he says in the verse, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." I do see a cord running through the verses that we've read tonight about that one little phrase. Think about those that are given to change and why you should not meddle with them. Someone that's often changing their morals is a dangerous individual. Morality is not supposed to be changeable. People that change their doctrine are dangerous for your life. God doesn't want us to just change what we believe. He's given us a Bible so that we would have a sure foundation, and it'll be a center of gravity for us, and then we shouldn't change. And so when God says, "Meddle not with those that are given to change," he's talking about people that change in so many different areas: morality, their lifestyle. You know, there's always a red flag when somebody starts changing their lifestyle. Because usually we are, as a matter of fact, creatures of habit. And when somebody starts, now there's some things you can change, it doesn't matter. It don't matter. I mean, if you want to grow a beard and you hadn't had a beard in a while, it doesn't really matter. But many times when people go into a really big deal about changing their image or their personality, there's a deeper issue of why that is. And when God says, "Meddle not with them that are given to change," I want to put a caveat there. There are some things in your life and some things in my life that need to change. Anything in my life that's not like Jesus Christ, I need to change it. Okay, so but what I think the Bible's saying here is, if you find somebody that's just changing for change's sake, it can be a dangerous thing in their life. I always know people that change the standards of their life. And it's usually not, I don't know how it could be that somebody sat and prayed about this, and so it's sort of strange. When people change standards, they always go lower, they never go higher. I mean, if everything was equal, you would think people would change their standards as much higher as they would lower, but that's hardly never the case. It's always a downward progression. And there's something to be said about not changing the standards of your life, the lifestyle of your life, the morals of your life, the doctrines of your life. God says, don't meddle with those that are given to change. And I look at the verse in verse 21 again. He starts that phrase with verse 21. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." He starts with the Lord and the king. Now that's the authorities in your life. You know what a lot of people like to do when they're given to change? They want to start changing the authorities in their life. Whether it's the Lord, or whether it's the king, or whether it's mom and dad. You understand what I'm saying? Or whether it's the preacher. or whatever authority I have in my life. Just notice, when somebody starts changing things, usually they don't know where to stop with that. And probably you don't need to change the leadership in your life. But a lot of people do that. People change Bibles. I've known people that change Bibles that I never would have dreamed would have changed a Bible. And every time I've noticed, when they change the Bible, that's not the only thing they change. That's why the Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Because it goes down a road that's much farther than one decision. I've noticed that with people in the last 31 plus years of ministry, that people do that with churches. People change churches a lot. That's not a wise thing to do. Now, that there can be a reason for that. But sometimes that starts someone on a progression. And so he says, meddle not with someone that's constantly changing in their life, because you need stability. You need solid ground. If you had a house that the foundation constantly moved, you wouldn't want to live there. If the doors in your house, if the doors in your bedroom changed every week, say the door that leads to the bathroom got changed every week, you think you might bump into something in the night when you had to get up and go? It's not a safe place to just start changing things in your life. And the temptation is, I am weary with the old. And if I'll just change some things, I'm just bored with it. Or if I'm imagining that a change would make me feel better, I'm imagining that a change would make me more fulfilled. I tell you what, that usually is not the truth. It usually is not the truth. If I could just change. And then, no. If you can't find peace and help and stability and submission where you are, you won't find it another place. Hold your finger there. Jeremiah 2:36. This is the wisdom of God. Meddle not with them that are given to change. And the reason that God tells us that is because if you do meddle with others that are given to change, it will affect you. You'll start changing your life. Here's a news flash for you. You know, all this new lifestyle and all these new attitudes and new positions that people are taking in society, you know, those are not independent thinkers that are coming up with those ideas. They have listened to someone else. They have watched someone else. And they've meddled with someone else and had relationships with other people that are constantly changing. And so then they think that's the best thing for their life too. So when God says, meddle not with them that give unto change, well, that's their problem. No, it will become your problem if the people that are close to you are constantly changing. They will put pressure and they will be an example for you to do the same. Because people don't sit down and think and meditate all by themselves and then come up with all these ideas to change their lives. They look at somebody else's life and then they make a decision to change their own. Jeremiah says in chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 36. There's something to be said about stability in your life. Some people don't have stability in their mind. People don't have stability in their heart. Some people don't have stability in their choices. They just constantly are changing. Jeremiah chapter 2, and that's not wise. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 36, look at what the Bible says. God asks a question. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? He asked Israel, why are you so intent
of having a different life than what I've given you. Because here's the example of the Bible. Romans chapter 1. The Bible tells us that they changed the glory of God. They changed it and made it into an image like unto man. In other words, man was not satisfied with a glorious God. They wanted to change the glory of God. That they were bored with the God of the Scripture, and they changed the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that led to further change, because again, change takes you down a road and it never stops. So they changed the glory of an incorruptible God, made like unto a corruptible man. And then the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 verse 25, then they changed the truth of God. So they changed the glory of God, and then they changed the truth of God, and then one verse later, they changed the natural use of God. In other words, they changed human sexuality. Because again, when you're not satisfied with who God is in your life, you continue down the road trying to change everything else to make yourself happy or to fulfill yourself or make it pleasing to yourself, and it never works out. You never come to the end. Lost people never come to the end and say, oh, I'm satisfied. No. Still have to keep changing. And God gives us the wisdom to get off that train. You do know the Bible says the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, he will seek to change times and seasons. God says, don't meddle with people given to change. You have some stability in your life. The word meddle, M-E-D-D-L-E, meddle not with them that are given to change. The old 1828 dictionary defines that word this way. I mean, if God tells us not to meddle with somebody given to change, we need to know what that means, right? Don't meddle with them. To meddle means to have to do or to take part with someone. To act in the concerns of others or in affairs in which one's interposition is not necessary. To mix or to mingle. God doesn't want us mixing and mingle with people that are constantly changing in their life, because it's going to affect my life. And that's why it's good to be around people that are the same. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? Amen. Aren't you glad you don't wake up tomorrow and have to guess? Wonder where God is today. Wonder how he's thinking today. Wonder what he's going to do next. No, God's not going to change. He promised he'll never flood the world again. And no matter how hard it rains, I'm not worried about it. I'm not, because he's a God that is the same. I can rely on him. And you know what people build? They build a life that impacts especially young lives in ways they do not understand. When they keep changing in their life, there is no good foundation for the next generation to see anything that's constant. That's why it's so important, even at home, for your home not to be a roller coaster. It's not healthy for the children. They need to see constant. We all have sins and temptations and weaknesses and shortages. All of us do. All of us have something about Jesus Christ that we can become more like him better. All of us do. But if there is a constant roller coaster of change in the house, it is destructive to people that have to meddle with that. So we need to have that stability in our lives. And a lot of times it's hard to stay the same in a changing world and with people's changing opinions. You know, one of the overlooked wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ was that for 30 years, before he ever preached a sermon, before he ever healed anybody, before he ever taught in a synagogue, before the world even knew who he was, he kept a routine that was always the same. The Son of God got up and went to work. And he didn't change jobs 15,000 times in his life. Is that okay? He just He just kept. Is it wrong to change jobs? No, no. But if you're constantly not satisfied and want to, and you're always wanting to change, there's something wrong. He constantly kept going to the synagogue and listening to a rabbi that didn't know a thimbleful of what he knew. But he kept going. Why didn't he change location? Because he was a stable servant of God that proved you could count on him when everybody else is doing wrong, he's going to do right. And when everybody else fails to come up to the mark, he's going to be that constant.
You know, we don't have to live that way anymore, but for the sailors that were on the sea, there's just something about being able to look at that North Star and know where you're going. The North Star doesn't move. It's a constant. It's not going to be in the south next month. Doesn't matter where I find myself. There's something up there that's the same. And if I'll just follow that, I'll know that's true north. You know what I want to... Don't you want to be that North Star for somebody else's life? We can't be if we're constantly changing our hearts and our desires and our service and our lifestyle. That's not the way to be a constant. So he says, meddle not with those that are given to change. What's the result of that for these people that constantly change in the book of Proverbs? Go back to our text. He says, Proverbs 24 and verse number 1 or 21. Proverbs 24 verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. You know, it's almost like, you know, well, if we'll just change presidents, everything will be good. We've tried that for so many years. Somebody ought to stop back and say, you know, this don't work. The country's never bettered. We never get farther down the road answering all the problems for anybody. Well, if we'll just change it. Let's just get rid of the Senate. Let's get rid of all the... There are a large group of people in our country that like to get rid of the Constitution. Let's just change the Constitution. I've heard that from both sides. Let's change the Constitution. Well, let's not. Let's believe that maybe our forefathers had a little more wisdom than we do about things. And that's what happens with every generation. They start changing things to their forefathers because they think they know better. We don't know better. We don't know better how to worship God. We don't know better how to live our lives. We don't know better about diddly squat. It would be better if we repaired the old gate and just kept it the same. Yeah. Oh, I want a new gate. Here's the result of those that are given to change. Verse 22, Proverbs 24, 22. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Now, that strikes me. So I understand that the people that are given to change are going to experience calamities and ruin. But he says this in the plural, their calamity. And who knoweth the ruin of them both? Who's the both? Watch it. It's the people that are changing and the people that are meddling with them. In other words, the spillover into the lives of the people that are meddling and associating and mixing and mingling with those that are given to change are going to experience some of the same calamities. I'll never forget. There was a guy I pastored years and years and years ago in Virginia. And he was working for a man, and I won't even set the table for you. I'll just say what I'm going to say and move on. He was working for a man that I was convinced the judgment of God was coming on this guy. And I went to the man I pastored, and I said, and I rarely do this, I said, you know, I think you need to find you another job. Because I just feel like I believe, knowing this man, knowing his life, I believe some judgment's about to fall in his life. And I don't want you to have collateral damage from it. He said, I'll think about that, Pastor, because I know what you're talking about. He didn't quit his job. He kept the job. And I don't know, it wasn't a couple weeks. There was a big accident at work. And this man that I pastored, he broke his leg bad. He got bad. He said, Pastor, you know, I should have quit that job. And then he got away from that guy. You said, Preacher, that's just a coincidence. No, I think that you need to stay away from people that God's getting ready to judge. Because everybody that has a calamity is not just the one that's given to change. It could be those that are meddling with them. You know, everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't sodomite. But they were all judged. Calamities. Boy, we've had some calamities the last few years, haven't we? Listen, you've got enough calamities that you're going to face in your life without you inventing some more. So I'm not going to start changing the things in my life that can bring calamities in my life when I'm going to experience enough of them anyway. Just living. You don't need any more calamities. You don't need any more ruination. I mean, he says right here in verse 22, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? I mean, Jerusalem was in ruins. We're going through Nehemiah about all that. It was in ruins. And yet the thing that happened in their life, because they were changing. They were changing and getting away from God and getting away from the things of God. And they had to be a different nation, a different culture, and a different society. They didn't stay with God. And so it ruined their city. It ruined all those who mingled with the city. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 10. He says, remove not the old landmark, enter not in the fields of the fatherless. Why? Because he's going to talk about the judgment that's coming from their Redeemer. You don't want to intermeddle with these people that are changing things in your life. You need to stay the same and stay with God. And because if you don't, there'll be ruin as a result. Hold your finger there. Look at something Jesus said. Luke chapter 6. Usually ruined lives, they're not an accident. I don't want anybody's life in here to be ruined. But if you're given to change and you meddle with those that are given to change, odds are you're good. He says, who knoweth the ruin of them both? And Jesus talks about this. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation. Does the foundation of your house ever change? If you do, you got problems. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth. You know what happens to the earth? Enough rain, it erodes, it changes. That dirt is not a good foundation. I mean, the right storm, the right rainfall, whatever is going to, the right cold, it's all going to change that earth. Like a man that is without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the what? The ruin of that house was great. Why? Because it was on a place that changed instead of a place that was solid. And of course, he likens his sayings and his word unto that solid foundation in life. Oh, how easily people change. I guarantee you, there's probably something in your life that used to be wrong that's not wrong anymore. There's probably a good thing in your life that you used to water and nurture that probably you've let go. And usually the changes we make in our lives aren't changes to make us more like Jesus. They're changes to go the other direction. The changes that people normally make are not to serve God more. It's not to be more involved. It's not to be more committed. It's a step back from that. And that's not wise. So that's the result. Calamity, ruin. Go back to our text. One more thing, if I've got time to get it. Looks like I've got 10 minutes left here. He says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. This is changing, watch it, in judgment. In other words, this used to be wrong, but I'm going to have respect of persons for you, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'll rebuke this guy over here because he did something that wasn't right, but because it's you, I won't rebuke you. In other words, sometimes people have a list of people that they will judge and correct, but this other group of people over here that they're prejudicial to, they will give them a pass. In other words, their judgment is not just. Their judgment is not equal. They have respect of persons, and depending upon who they're in who's in front of them, changes their response to their life. Are you listening to me? They change based upon who it is. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. And before you go there, look at chapter 28. I'll read this and get it on the way. Proverbs 28, verse 21. Proverbs 28, 21 says, to have respect to persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. God says if you're prejudicial in your life, it won't take a little piece of bread and you'll do anything. It's a serious issue of the heart. So hold your finger there as you're going to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Don't change your judgment in respect of persons. Be wise. Be the same with people. If it's wrong in one person's life, it's wrong in everyone's life. Don't be prejudicial. We hear that word a lot, don't we? But let's just read the context of what we're talking about. Leviticus 19, verse 15. Leviticus 19, 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Watch it. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. You know what some people do? They'll say, well, because you're poor, I'm going to give you a pass. You know it's wrong for a poor man to steal? You know some people overlook the sins of the poor and they give them a pass because they're poor? You know what that's doing? That's respect of persons. That's having one standard of truth for the poor and another standard of truth for the rich. But you know what? It's also the other way around, isn't it? Because you're my buddy, because we work together. Because I make money off of this deal. Because my relationship with you helps me financially, I'll look the other way. It's the same wickedness. What it's doing, it's changing what you are, changing what's true, changing what is just and what is right. And you know what the Bible says over and over and over again? I can read the verses for you. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care who you are. We've had this problem in some ministry circle. They think, well, because I'm a preacher, that if I do this, God will overlook it. You're nuts! God doesn't look at a preacher and excuse his wickedness. And that would be respecting a person's. He doesn't overlook somebody that's had a hard life in circumstances and overlook their wickedness just because they had a hard life either. I'll say this.
in the matter of spiritual things and judgment, God is fair. Amen. He says this, I don't care what any of you have done. I don't care what any of you ever will do. If you'll come receive my son and repent of your sin, I'll save you just like I'll save him. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your background is. I will treat all of you sinners the same. Peter learned that lesson. He went and preached to that Italian, Cornelius, that Gentile, which Jews weren't supposed to mingle with. You know what he said? He's in there preaching, and God did all that miracle to get all that thing together, and those Gentiles got saved. You know what Peter said? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He wants the Gentiles saved just like he's interested in the Jews. God's interested in the Nigerian souls just as much as he's interested in your baby soul. Thank God for that. Because if I was in a different culture, a different nation, and that wasn't the case, then God would be unfair to my life and unfair to my family. God doesn't look at America and say, oh, what jewels I have. He doesn't even do that with Israel today. He says, look at my son and all those people running to my son. I love them all. I have mercy for them all. I accept them all in my son. He's fair. But we're not always that way. We change. Sometimes we treat our family differently than we treat others. In this regard, in two ways, actually. Sometimes people give preferential treatment. Say, my child is involved in a sin that I know is wrong, but because they're my child, it's okay. You see how that's respect of persons in judgment? Now, if it's your child, boy, what a wicked child. But my child, well, we just need to have mercy on these people. Yeah, you didn't want to have mercy on that one's people. You want to have mercy on this one's people, yours. Well, because it's my relative. No. What's right is right, and what's wicked is wicked. That scripture says if you look at a wicked person and say, you're right, you're okay, then God has a condemnation on that. You've changed just because you know them as you're in your family. But, you know, you can flip that. I've met some people that treat their family worse than they treat strangers. The preferential treatment is not the family, it's for people they don't know. And the people they do know get it in the teeth. God says, don't change like that. I don't do that. Aren't you glad God doesn't wake up and say, boy, look at the Logans. I just love them so much. But those Gibsons. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with you? Well, we can't do that with each other. You know what he says in the book of James? I've got to read this because it's about the church. James. I could read all these verses about God not respecting the persons, but I'm not going to do that. You can go look it up when you get home. 1 Timothy 5:21, while you're turning to James 2. 1 Timothy 5:21 says, do nothing by partiality. And I tell you what, a lot of times we do. Sometimes we want to pick and choose who we want to be good to, or who we want to witness to, or who we want to minister to, or who we want to help. I'm glad God's not that way. And I ought not change that way. James chapter 2 says this. And of course, you could do it in the reverse, but this is the illustration in the church house. James 2, the Bible says in verse number 2, for if there come unto your assembly... That's a church assembly. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, watch it, and ye have respect to him. You see that? That weareth the gay clothing. By the way, that's why I hate the way that word's used. If you give in on that word, then somebody's going to read the Bible. You don't give it. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 3. Ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say, the poor stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You know what he says? You need to love people the same. That's hard. Because some people are hard to love. And some people are easy to love. This text is the rich guy. Oh, yeah, come sit by me. Yeah. And the poor person, the smelly person, the person that got driven, yeah, go sit over there. I'm not interested in you. It could be that way, or it could be the other way around. Oh, the poor are here. Oh, can I help you? What can I do for you? And the rich guy, oh, they've got more money than me, and they look better than me, and they look like they're more educated than me. I think I'll stay away from them. She's prettier than I am, so I don't think I'll talk to her. If you have respect of persons, you commit sin. Don't change the way you treat people, the way we love people, the way we try to reach out to people. And that's easy to say, and it's hard to live. And I'll finish up because I'm out of time. Looking for that door to crack. Chapter 24 of Proverbs. And I'm glad I'm finished because verse 26 says, if this guy is rebuking everybody that he should rebuke, that's wicked, and he's the same in judgment. Verse 26 says, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. And I'm going to close my Bible there and say, I can't deal with that. That is the only place in the Bible where somebody's kissed on the lips. You can laugh, that's true. I studied that out. It wasn't pleasant, but I studied it out. I've read about a holy kiss, but it don't say on the lips, brother. I've read about kissing the Son, but it don't say on the lips. I've read about him kissing his feet, but it doesn't say kiss him on the lips. So all I know to say is our wicked culture probably has ruined a lot of past traditional norms. But man, I don't even believe in kissing your toddlers on the lips. So you think that's weird. I know I'm weird. I believe in kissing them and hugging them. I believe in showing them love. But that lip thing, there's a reservation right there, man. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? So right there, this Bible-believing preacher can't help you with that verse. But I believe it.